The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. In case you have just joined us, we have been in a study of the Gospel of John now for several months, and we will continue in this study, the Lord leading, until we get all the way through this great universal gospel of God's beloved apostle. Last week we began to consider the baptism with the Holy Spirit and will continue on that subject matter today. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will show us what we need to know about this precious indwelling and filling with thy sacred Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you tuning in for the first time, we have given attention to John the Baptist's gospel. We have the gospel of Matthew, of Mark, of Luke. We have the gospel of John the Apostle, and now the Gospel of John the Baptist. John the Baptist made three major points, and the first one was, make straight the way of the Lord, which indicates that man is crooked and needs to repent of his crookedness. Secondly, John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which tells us that man must come to Christ to receive forgiveness and the cleansing from his sin. And thirdly, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize with water, but he, referring to Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As we considered this text a week ago, we noticed that it is very important that we not fight over how to get this baptism with the Holy Spirit. As we go through the book of Acts, we find different ways by which the Holy Spirit came upon His precious people. The first baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is also called the infilling, occurred on the day of Pentecost, when 120 people prayed and came to unity, to oneness of soul and spirit. It is then when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. In another text, the baptism with the Holy Spirit occurred when the Christians prayed for their ministers, for the apostles, Peter and John, who had been arrested. And there it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had met was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In this particular case, the people did not even pray for the filling with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came when they prayed for their pastors, for their ministers. Now then, I began to share with you what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Since there is God the Father, and since there is God the Son, and since there is God the Holy Spirit, what then do you think it means when we are filled with God the Holy Spirit? It means exactly this: we are filled with God. Oh, it does not mean we lose our humanity. It does not mean we lose our weaknesses, the weaknesses of the flesh, the faults and the flaws and the shortcomings of our humanity, but in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls, we are filled with God the Spirit. So to be filled with God, dear ones, means that we will think like God. We will act like God. We will react like God. We will have God's attitudes. We will have God's spirit. We will have God's disposition. We will desire what God desires. Will we be motivated by what motivates God? We will have God's ambitions. We will have the mind of God. We will love what God loves. We will shun and hate what God shuns and hates. We will be grieved by what grieves God. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord, in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I mentioned to you two incidences so far today where the Holy Spirit filled people. First, on the day of Pentecost. Secondly, a few days later, when the Christians prayed for their ministers. Another place where we find an infilling with the Holy Spirit is in the case of the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit fell upon him when somebody else prayed for him. A man by the name of Ananias laid hands on the Apostle, and he prayed that he might receive the Holy Spirit, and Paul did receive the Spirit of the Lord. In another place yet, in Acts chapter 10, we have a situation where Peter was preaching, and while he was preaching a sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon every one of the listeners. Dear ones, we must get it into our hearts, Jesus, only Jesus is a baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has an absolute monopoly to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. No one can do it for him. We can baptize people with water, but he shall baptize with the Holy Spirit, and he shall baptize us with the Holy Spirit when we're ready, not 1 second earlier, nor 1 second later. We must not concern ourselves with methods of being filled. We must concern ourselves only with one thing that is essential for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or the infilling with the Holy Spirit, and that is we must be emptied of ourselves. Once we are empty, completely empty of the self-life, then he will fill us with his precious Holy Spirit. Now, this does not mean that anything much changes in our physical appearance. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, but most people in his day did not recognize him as being full of the Holy Spirit, as being full of God. He lived with his family for almost 30 years, full of God, always doing the will of his Father, yet his family did not know. They did not know that Jesus was God, full of the Holy Spirit. There was no halo on him. There was no divine light over his head. There were no extraordinary manifestations about him, as some artists would like to make us think. And so it's true. Of all those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will seldom ever be recognized by anyone in the world as being full of God's Spirit, because mankind, the flesh of man, is caught up with man's humanity. Now then, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our bodies become the home of all the spiritual graces, or you might say of all the spiritual fruits, and this comes to us from Galatians chapter 5, and I shall read to you from that section. Here Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Now let me stop right here. It does not say the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit is here in the singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Someone has told me this is like a cluster of grapes. A cluster of grapes has many grapes on it. And so those who have the fruit of the Holy Spirit have all those spiritual graces Paul mentions here, every one of them. So you will not have love without getting joy. You will not get joy without getting peace. You will not get long-suffering without getting gentleness. You will not get meekness without getting faith. All of these particular graces or gifts come at the time that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. They all come together. Now let me go back to the fruit of the Spirit. It is like when you buy a cluster of grapes. You don't just get one grape, but you get all of them in the cluster. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is one of the most outstanding graces of the Holy Spirit. If you want to check yourself on your spirituality, long-suffering is a good one to do the check on. Wouldn't you like to have a husband, dear wife, who is long-suffering, who never gets after you, no matter what you do, no matter how long he has to wait, no matter how often you fail in the same area, who never ever gets after you, but who bears your weaknesses in love and patience and kindness? Wouldn't you like to have a husband like that? Or husbands, wouldn't you like to have a wife like that? Well, why don't you, wife, become like that? And why don't you, husband, become like that? By emptying yourself of yourself so that the Holy Spirit can fill you. Can you see here that the infilling with the Holy Spirit is a preventer of divorces and dead marriages? So this is a fruit of the Spirit, or these are the graces of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. So when we become filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, we become godly. Secondly, we will have the graces of the Spirit. And thirdly, we receive power. We receive power, spiritual power, we've never dreamt existed. And this is, of course, in the scriptures. Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, the apostles, received power to witness and power in prayer. To receive the power to live godly lives, the power not to argue, the power not to speak when there is so much to be said, the power, in other words, to control the tongue. And doesn't James say that the person who can control his tongue is a perfect man? Well, that's a person who is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive power to love what is unlovable and not to back off in the face of the most fierce opposition. Before Pentecost, Peter backed up, and it was time for him to testify for Jesus. But after Pentecost, he never backed up. So the filling with the Holy Spirit makes us godly. It gives us the graces of the Spirit. It gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And number four, it brings us to oneness with God. Oswald Chambers, who wrote this wonderful devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest, said in essence that when we come into the Spirit-filled life, that our oneness with Jesus becomes similar to Jesus' oneness with the Father. A fifth thing that happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit is we become missionaries and evangelists. Every person filled with the Holy Spirit has a heart of a missionary and of an evangelist. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot spend one single day of your life without thinking about the lost all over the world, without carrying the burden for the lost, without praying for the lost. And you cannot spend a day in your life without being aware of the unsanctified, weak condition of the church. That burden is also upon you. So the first baptism with the Holy Spirit began a missionary movement. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So every man on the day of Pentecost was able to hear these apostles speak the gospel in his own language. The baptism of the Holy Spirit began a missionary movement. And also later on, when another group of Christians got filled with the Holy Spirit, my friend, the same thing happened. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. You cannot be a Spirit-filled Christian without being an evangelist and a missionary. This is why when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have within yourself a greater desire to be in prayer with others or by yourself for the lost, for the unsanctified church, than to go to a wedding or a graduation or a family reunion or a ball game. Or if you're at a wedding or graduation or family reunion, it is constantly in your heart that most of the people there are lost, are not sanctified, and need Jesus very, very much. So we must close here, my friend, with this message. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but one cometh after me. He's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Before I close, I want to give you my address. If you want to order any of these cassette radio tapes, they are $3 per tape. Each tape has two messages on them. And so you can send us $3 and you'll get two tapes postage paid. Write to us at Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Indiana, 46901. And if you're outside the United States, please add a USA to the address. Goodbye now, until next week.